Blog Talk Radio.
This is Chris on IMTM Worldwide Radio. This is a Saturday Night Live episode. It's an impromptu show. It's not a planned show. It's not a written show. This show is specifically in regards to a particular topic that has come back up again as we are in the middle of a non-season so far. We know the reasons why. 646-652-4479. The coronavirus has all major sports shut down, including the NBA. And so we haven't had a lot to talk about the NBA because it's not been in the news. There's no draft or anything like that upcoming right now. No free agent movement, things of that nature. You do have 2K being played, though, amongst the players, and rumors of playing horse, and you got TikTok, and you got all that kind of good stuff. But I want to talk about a particular subject, but before I get started, one, thanks to those who might be watching on the New Pack City page, what's going on? Could y'all let me know if y'all can hear me or not? I am not using my headphones. I'm testing something right now. So if you happen to be watching, can you hear me or not? I know I'm live at the moment, and hopefully the people on Twitter, I posted on both my Twitter pages and a couple of the Hawks pages as well. So hopefully everybody can hear me. My microphone is plugged up, it's red, so that usually means I'm live. But if somebody can, let me just type it in. Let's see, if you're watching, let me know if you can hear me. And call in. So a particular subject that I've talked about a lot over the last few months, really since December, has been coaching versus the players. And again, I've had a lot of videos, of course, there's articles that I've written, and of course my live show to discuss this particular topic. I would love to hear some people call in to talk about it, but we'll see if anybody does. I actually directed this to one particular person on Twitter not 5 minutes ago, because I'll go back. Coach Bud, 60-win team, right? Great team, great season. We all have fun and everything. But again, no one thought that team would actually win the NBA Finals. They could have, but nobody actually really viewed them as contenders, not legit contenders. Not to say they were pretenders, but they just didn't have anybody that could literally put them over the top. Why? Because you had Al Horford, who was never going to give you the 24 and 15 every night that he could give you, because he had all the skills and abilities to do that, and you were never going to get Teague time all the time. We only got that part time. And how do we know that? Because what have they done since they've left the Hawks? If they were ever going to do anything more, they could have did it on another team. Al's been on two teams now. Jeff has been on, I don't know how many teams since he's left Atlanta now, right? So there's that. There's that part of it. Coach Bud, in his last year, won 24 games. Now, The argument of this one particular person or persons or a group of people or a whole bunch of y'all believe that it can't be put on the coach if he doesn't have really good players. The argument is, what is he supposed to do about that? He don't have any players, then he can't win. He has no involvement in the success or failure of the team if he doesn't have all good players. If his general manager and owner doesn't give him any good players, he shouldn't be expected to win. That's what the mode of this particular show is right now, because it angers me at this point. So Coach Bud literally had basically a 13-win team. They won 24 games. Should have won more. Should have won more. They were in a lot of games that year, if you remember. They could score with anybody. What they didn't do, they didn't play no defense. That could have been a 35-win team if they had played defense in 10 games. So the next year, Coach Pierce comes in and they win 29 games with a rookie point guard who almost won Rookie of the Year. With a power forward nobody could stop and they never even ran a play for. And a whole bunch of other players. They won 29 games. And again, if they played any semblance of defense, that team would have made the playoffs. That team would have made the playoffs. Despite Collins being hurt, despite at the beginning of the season, Deadman and Red Mamba and Jeremy Lin all being hurt. And then at the end of the season, all those injuries at the end of the season, they could have made the playoffs last year. There was talent on that team. There was talent enough on that team for them to get to the playoffs last year. Trae Young said he wanted to get to the playoffs last year. So at the end of last year, Trae Young says, you know what? I think we're going to surprise some people in 2019. Didn't know that John Collins was going to get suspended. Didn't know that Alex Lynn was going to ghost at starting center. Didn't know that so many of the moves that were made were going to just be complete buzz. He didn't think that much of them, but you didn't think they were just going to be terrible, just terrible, terrible. Didn't think that, right? Despite all that, you have a young man having one of the greatest second seasons of all time, and when John Collins did come back, man's 20-10, dominating out there. You have a whole bunch of other contributors to where if we had just played a semblance of defense, guess what? But somehow we regress. Now, someone said, well, we regress because we had all those bad players at the beginning of the season. That's some of it. But the sum of all those parts, unfortunately, all of that can't just be those players that we knew probably weren't going to see the light of day. What's up, Chauncey? Probably weren't going to contribute that much. It can't be put all that. Chauncey, can you hear me, by the way? Give me a yes sir or no. I need to know. It can't be just that. And why is that? Because at a certain point, your coaching staff has to coach. All right, cool. Thank you. I'm doing this impromptu show because of some tweets recently. I just felt compelled to go ahead and actually do a live show. I hadn't done one in a while. I was going to wait until next Wednesday. I was going to do a test show for my stream, but then found out that apparently my new YouTube channel actually still has to be activated, I guess. So rather than do it from my other YouTube page, I'll just wait to do a test when it goes up, because it would not work out really that well to do it from my other YouTube channel when I'm trying to get people to subscribe to the IMTM Worldwide Radio YouTube channel, which if you're watching this or listening to this, please do that. Go to YouTube and subscribe to the IMTM Worldwide Radio channel, please. I will be doing live streams of all of my radio programs from that page in the near future. So back to the subject. You cannot absolve a coaching staff from responsibility to the players that he has, because you're basically saying that unless a general manager and the owner gets a coach players, the coach shouldn't even really coach. Like, what else is he supposed to do? Like, what is he supposed to do? Is he forfeiting games, basically, until he gets some players? Is he going on strike? I've never seen that before. You coach the players that you're given, no matter what, just like Bud did. That 60-win team was not a 60-win team. Be real about it. Those guys individually were not all-stars. Legit, Jeff T was an all-star, y'all? Come on. He was cool. He wasn't an all-star, though. Kyle Korver, he's cool, but he wasn't an all-star. That was a cumulative group effort because of coaching. Putting players in the best position to succeed. That's the job of the coach. And if you're not playing well, you're not playing up to expectations, you're not playing with the effort needed to be successful, then you shouldn't play. You shouldn't be rewarded for the foolery. That's why Bill Belichick has all those Super Bowls. Bill Belichick doesn't abide by the foolery. He puts you in a position to be successful, and guess what? If you don't perform, you're not going to start. Or you might not even be on the team. And that's going to happen quickly. Because why waste time? There has to be accountability at a certain point. The moniker that defense wins championships is always going to ring true. Because at a certain point, you got to stop somebody. Even if you gave up 30 points, guess what? You got to stop the next two. It's a defensive play. You might have given up 30 straight. But somehow, I'm using football, not basketball score, literally. But eventually, you got to stop somebody. You got to, or at least look like you're trying. And unfortunately, for two seasons on our team, this is just being real right now, we haven't shown the semblance of any kind of defensive strategy, formula, facets, admonishments, nothing. And there's no accountability for that. An effort. How many times in 2 years have we had to hear the phrase, they weren't really ready to play tonight? Oh, you know, that happens in an NBA season. You know, the guys, But my goodness, all the games aren't back-to-backs. All the games aren't 3 out of 4. All of them are not. They're just not. I'm sorry. How many times can you use that as an excuse? At a certain point, people need to do what they're supposed to do. And if they're not doing it on a consistent basis, they can't be rewarded for that. The players can't get in the game unless the coach lets them in the game. So if they're continually doing it wrong, where is the coaching to make them do it right? How many times does it take? And guess what? All these guys are not rookies. And even with that, there's no excuse because other teams and other rookies do it. It's called coaching. It's called discipline. It's called accountability. It's called responsibility to those other guys who you play with to be in the spot you're supposed to be in off a pick and roll, off of a screen, boxing out, getting back on defense. That's just plain old basketball. What does that got to do with talent at the end of the day? Because guess what? Any team in the NBA can be any other team in the NBA on any given night. We have seen it time and time again, right? We've done it. We played some of the best teams in the East and the West and scrapped with them and played well and almost won. And in some cases, they did win with not that much talent relatively, right? Doc Rivers is one of the best examples of that. He went from having Blake Griffin, CP3, and a hype DeAndre Jordan, and they still kept winning ball games somehow. How's that possible? You see what I'm saying? There's too many examples of coaches that, well, I don't care who I have on my team, I'm going to win some games. Because that's what I'm here for. I'm here to win. Every coach's job is to win games. Otherwise, what is he doing? Well, what about Brett Brown in Philadelphia? Guess what? His job was to win games there too. See, you have to remember, the general manager is the only one who can affect who's on that roster. But at that point, it's the coach's job to manage the roster, to put the best. You see what I'm saying? Now, if he don't know how to do that, guess what's going to happen? You're going to lose a lot of ball games because of bad decisions, bad rotations. Why is this group of guys out here on the floor? This group of guys don't work, and it's been proven time and time again that it don't work. You got to mix it up. You got to change it out. Why is your best player not in the game in a crucial moment? Why are we down 13? We were up by 5. What's going on here? You see what I'm saying? Time and time and time again, at a certain point, you mean to tell me that you can't. There's video, isn't there? There's video. They got laptops and tablets and all kinds of devices and stuff. So are you just not looking at these things? You see what I'm saying? Some of this is, again, some of y'all have actually played ball. So you mean to tell me when you keep on playing bad, you're going to get rewarded by keep getting put back in the game or not? AAU players, some of you played college ball. You mean to tell me your coach ain't in it, you don't got it today, son, or you ain't giving me enough effort on defense, son? Remember the clip of Kobe at on the Olympics? Coach, I'll play defense. I'm not even going. He didn't even take a shot. That's effort right there. You're not playing supreme effort. When what's the point? And these guys are getting paid a lot of money to not have effort time and time and time again. Chauncey says, "Feel this team failed by design." That is, well, design is right. Failed by design. I'm gonna read the rest of it. But this team wasn't designed to fail. There you go. That's your coach. Because Bud trying to win ball games. See, in everybody's mind that year, we should be winning 9 games with this team. Coach Bud is a coach. Coach Bud says, you know what? I'm going to plug you here, plug you there, plug you here, plug you there. And I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And we're competing because we're playing. I get paid to win games, and y'all get paid to play games to win games in front of this large audience here. So we're going to play. We're going to play to the best of our ability. And if you don't want to do that, you won't be playing. Thus, your minutes ebb, tide, and flow based off of that. It can't be one and then the other. You get who you got. And then you mix and match. That's why I keep using my example in regards to the workplace in secular world. I have 100 people. I have runners. I got bussers. I got bartenders. I got stand attendants. I got, servers already? I got all these different groups of people to work with. And I got at the beginning of a shift, and this is at SunTrust Park or Turner Field, wherever it was, 1,000 people going to come through the door that night. Some of them are millionaires. Chris, why is my wine temperature of 32.3 Celsius or whatever, like that James Bond or something? I don't know. Let's get it fixed. Why is my server giving me attitude? How come this person dropped my nachos? Whatever it might be. But I got to make sure that throughout the night, I got to make sure that at the very beginning, that I have as many people in the best place possible for that particular shift per who walked in the door, per who's on the schedule, who called out, all this kind of stuff that happens throughout the night. I'm putting people, a team together to say for this night, for this game, we're going to get through it as smooth as possible, although all kind of crazy stuff might happen. That's a mindset to say, well, you're either built for failure or, you see what I'm saying? I'm trying to win every night. Now, I might not win every night. We might lose money that particular night because, you know, we ran out of beer somehow. And, you know, we couldn't get a keg up fast enough, or we ran out of popcorn. How you run out of popcorn? It's possible at a Braves game. You know, whatever it might be. We've run out of fries and chicken fingers before. That was a disaster. But guess what? You fix it. You move on. You apologize. You got to do whatever you got to do to make it through the night to make sure that that particular patron is happy. So in basketball, you're doing the same thing. You're giving what you got. You see what you got. Game time. Let's go, guys. We're going to go. We're going to push. We're going to win. We're going to do our best to win. So whether or not a team is built for – there's too many teams that supposedly were not built for success and they won a Super Bowl. You see what I'm saying? Or won something. You see what I'm saying? There's too many examples out there week by week, month to month, year to year, decade to decade to prove otherwise. Let me read the rest of Chauncey's just like players get into a rhythm, coaches do as well. No way, but situation is complicated as peers. Okay, I grant that to a point still. I'm saying Lloyd is as good a coach as Mike. No, there's no way he could have fixed the situation. Well, again, I ain't saying he has to fix it. I'm just saying I want to see consistent effort every doggone night and not get blown out by 150 points at home. That's all I'm asking for. I don't care if we go 0-82. How many times have I said this live? What's up, John? How many times have I said this live? My bad. You know what? I've been going on. Okay, nobody's calling in. All right, got 8 minutes left, y'all. I'm making this a short show because I didn't mean to come on live at all. I'm not saying. Oh, thank you, John. I'm not saying it had to be fixed. We won 24 games with Bud. We won 5 games in Lloyd Pierce's first year as a head coach with talent. We had talent on that team to still win 30-plus games and get to the playoffs. Injuries and all that despite that. And that showed at the end of the year. Torian Prince on the team. We could have did it, but we couldn't play no defense. Second year, we needed to have an uptick on the defense. There should have been some improvement. And we went completely backwards. I know the beginning of the season was kind of sketchy at best, but that still doesn't disallow all the players to be a little bit better. But guess what? We didn't have anything in place to make them better is my only point, really. There should be not so many times to have to hear they didn't have it tonight. That gets old when you drove up 2 hours and spent such amount of money, and you're expecting to see a good supreme effort, and there's 150 points on the doggone scoreboard, and we're embarrassed, and ain't nothing going to be done about it, and it's going to happen again. That's not cool. I don't see how that's cool with any of y'all. I don't understand that. You can't float that with me. I'm sorry. Uh-oh, John's one of the essentials. Man, be careful out there, man. Be careful, please. Mask up, mask on, mask off. Future. So that's all I'm saying, guys. I hope this little short session. Again, if you've not, I'm gonna see if I can take this call. It's gonna be having to be a quick call though. Got 6 minutes left. Again, if you go back through any of my shows or videos and things of that nature, you know how I feel. I want the team to be successful, but I also want to see the team compete. We had enough to compete. We really did. Even before all the moves and everything. And then post the moves, there should have been a real uptick at that point. You got real talent out there, coachable talent. And we didn't see, we saw over a period of time we did, but nowhere near where it could have been. I mean, we still couldn't even win 3 in a row. And then you still regressing. 104, whatever it was, the Memphis game where your general manager basically finally said, you know what, this effort is intolerable. This is not acceptable. That wasn't the first time we had an effort like that. Let's see, I got 5 minutes. Let's see who this is. Good evening, caller. Go ahead and tell us your name. Where are you calling from?
Yeah, this is Naj. What's going on, man? Down here.
Hey, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm cooler, man. You know how it goes. Right. But you already know I'm on the other side of this conversation. So, you know, it is what it is. I just try to get this in quick because I know you got to go. But
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no matter what, man, when you're playing young players 30-plus minutes a game, you're going to play with what? Inconsistency. You're going to have guys miss rotations. You're going to make mistakes that young guys are just going to make as they learn. Now, the opposite side of that problem is the Knicks, where they had their young guys like Kevin Knox and a few of the other guys on the bench. The Hawks were force-feeding their young boys minutes, which I think is the best way for them to learn, grow, and get better. So I'll take the inconsistency now. I'll take the blowouts now, because there are some games that we had no business even being in where we were giving really, really good teams hell because we were hitting some of the shots and, you know, just speeding up the game and throwing up threes in a way where if we get hot, you know, anybody can get it. And, I mean, this is the new age of basketball, man. So there are going to be nights to where we beat the hell out of people, and there are going to be nights where we get it, you know, get their teeth kicked in, man. That's just the way the team is built. And honestly, some of these guys that we're watching, especially Cam Reddish and DeAndre Hunter, man, they're going to be so much better in 2 years. Like the things that they're learning now just by trial and error and being on the court, what they can get away with, what they can't get away with, like that stuff is going to speak volumes. Now, the effort thing, like, look, from the GM and the coach, the effort thing is always something fans to respond to because they say, oh, yeah, that's it. You might not be able to be the best, but you can always give effort. So that always makes people feel good. But I'm just, man, just keep it 100, man. This is a young team. If they played 100% effort every night, they would still be within the bottom of the league because this is a rebuild. We got another pick coming in.
Let me interrupt there. The bottom of the league might be true, but not worse than the teams that are above us right now. There's just legitimately, we are not a 13-win team if you play with some effort on a regular basis. We're just not. Mostly because you have a player who's having one of the best second seasons in NBA history, straight up.
But that player,
and then you got
that,
a guy
like
John Collins coming back like gangbusters, and with Cam and Hunter and Red Mamba and all those other guys, Demon coming in, Jeff T playing well. We're better than the sum of the parts at that point, the second half of this season.
Hold
now we've gotten the rest of it taken
hold
away.
Tight.
But I'm
hold
just
tight
saying.
One second. How many games did John miss?
25 games.
Okay. So
that's not
already
the whole season, though.
Yeah, but just hold on. I make my point. That's already a hole that a team as thin as ours can't really come back from. John missing 25 games. That already just strikes your season. Now, as much as Trey improved offensively and a great player that he is, do you know who the last ranked defensive player in the NBA is by position?
That's fine. And guess what? He's not the only player on the team. There's 11 other guys on the team, 4 other people on the court. Team defense, and this is where my point is. If you know that is a point of weakness, and again, I still haven't seen anybody scoring like 60 points off of Trae Young necessarily like that either. But at the end of the day, we don't play pick and roll defense. We don't know when to come off of screens and stay with your man, and we don't block out. If we just did that on a regular basis, we could go 0-82 for all I care if I just saw that. Because if I saw that and we still get beat, that's one thing. But we're not even doing those basics there. And every game of basketball I've ever played in life, if I wasn't doing those things, guess what? Coach takes me out the game. We got to talk. You see what I'm saying? Right now, I know you don't see me live, but I'm doing the hand signal. Hey, we got to, you know what
the
I'm
horn,
saying? So that's
horn,
all right? I'm saying. That is my main.
For everybody else, those are the rules. But for Trey, those can't be the rules. And you got to be fair to Trey when we talk about him being the worst defensive player in the league. A part of it is he's carrying a heavy offensive burden. So there'll be moments where he has to rest and you have to hide him on defense in order to keep him on the court to play that kind of, you know, that minute load that he plays, man. That's why Kawhi doesn't play every night. That's why some of these other guys are doing what they're doing. So Trey is carrying a heavy load. Most people don't do that.
This is true.
Defensively, he's going to do that. And if we're keeping it a buck, have we seen LeBron James be the primary defender on any score this year? No.
Well,
he has to rest up to carry the load.
And of course, but then again, if we're just going back into the years of, you know, our primary defensive players, stalwarts and stuff like that,
yeah,
you know, these last 10 years or whatever, you know, the new NBA or whatever, but back in the day, all those guys played 40 plus minutes playing that kind of defense. Scottie Pippen, for one. You know, so I'm not comparing nobody or anything like that, but they used to do it. Now they don't. And again, it's still 82 games.
Go back to that second three-peat for the Bulls. Mike wasn't that primary Bulldog defender anymore because of the offensive load he was carrying. Pip was. So it's a give and take on that. You can't carry the load and play all
the time. That's where Cam and Hunter and the rest of the guys are going to come in. And again, that's where it's like the individual defense with Cam is there. For Hunter, it is sometimes, but then again, it's like it's the team defense that's killing them.
Oh yeah,
it's the team, and that's what unnerves me
all of the time.
And again, that's where it's just like I just want to see that, because the thing of it is, again, he was touted on the defensive side of the ball. That's one of his strengths. That's what he's not just a brand new coach, never coached before. He's been in the league since 2007. And he got that reputation. Braun and all these guys coming out saying all these praises and everything. All I'm looking at from year one to year two is just a tiny bit of what was going on in the first year. Okay, the first year, we chalk it up being the first year. But the second year, I don't care who's on the roster, you should have some stuff implemented at that point. And we didn't. And that's all I was looking at. That's all I was looking at. And I'm like, what's going to change drastically from this year to next year all of a sudden? And it can't just be, well, we're going to have better players. Because just having better players is not necessarily going to fix things if the same stuff has not been fixed on the floor.
It's the amount of minutes they played. It's the sets they played against. It's playing against these players for the second and third time as far as guarding people. Like, all of that comes into play. They're going to be much better. Look, they could have got away this year with playing more zone. But if they played more zone, the young kids probably wouldn't have learned as much. So I say throw them into the fire, and you've got to kind of take your whoopings. But trade causes breakdowns so much defensively that everybody else is in a scramble. And, I mean, that's just hard to do, man. So I'm not trying to knock Trey in saying this. It's just, no, we're a couple steps away from being where we need to be. But we're in much better shape than all the other teams who are supposedly rebuilding their squad. We got the young star already, and we got young pieces around them. So I like where we're at.
Yeah, and that's definitely true, too. And that's the other part of it. It's like we have one of the best cores out there, and that's been proven, too. Nobody's going to want anything to do with the Atlanta Hawks this decade coming up. So that's right. The one part of it that's, you know, we can hang our hats on as far as just fans go. We don't know we don't know if the season's going to be finished like it is or whatnot. We're going to lose these 15 games and all that kind of good stuff. But we know going into the 2020 season, you know, it's not all or nothing necessarily or nothing like that. But Trae Young is going to want to make good on being that surprise team. You see what I'm saying? He ain't going to want another year to go by necessarily because Trae wants to win. Trae said draft night he wants to win a championship for the Atlanta Hawks. And there's still a lot of people out there who don't want nothing to do with that for some reason and still talk bad about it, like just straight up.
Which is crazy. Next year we're talking about Capella coming back as a starter, and we're talking about John being able to play the four and not having to play the five and getting in foul trouble and all that stuff, man. So, I'm ready.
It's going to be fun.
No, you be safe and take the advice you've given everybody. Keep washing your hands and all that. Mask on.
Yes, sir.
I feel you, bro.
You do the same, man. Take care now. And that pretty much is going to end tonight. If y'all know this, I kind of went over a little bit overtime on my 30 minutes there because I was only going to do 30 minutes technically. But I just wanted to come, and that's why I wanted to do this show, because I always want to get two perspective. It's always good to get that out there. But hopefully those who did get to listen kind of got a revamp on my initial argument. Because, again, there got to be some accountability. It's not always going to be on one side or the other, but there has to be some. Because players, again, they're complicit as well. You know, I didn't want to go through the whole thing, but at the same time, the coach is the head of the team. The coach is the CEO, he's the president, whatever you want to call him, but nothing happens without the coach saying so. You see what I'm saying? I always use Coach Pop as an example. Tim Duncan, Ginobili, Tony Parker, you got to come out. Pat Riley, Magic, you got to come out. You turn the ball over too much. Whatever it is. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you got to come out. That's Pat Riley saying that. You don't play unless the coach says, okay, it's time for you to come in the game. Otherwise, you're sitting. You see what I'm saying? So again, for me, it's a matter of, yes, we're going to have some different players come in next year. They're going to help. But if formula-wise still don't change, basically the same habits are still going to be there. And if you don't have accountability, again, remember when Dedmon came back. Dedmon was doing what he's supposed to, coming out the paint on a pick and roll, and no one picked up his man, and we gave up a layup. And he's screaming because he's like, what in the world? And it's because there's no accountability for that. It keeps happening again and again. That has to be fixed. And what's going to make it different next year if it wasn't being changed from this year, if it wasn't being changed from last year? Because remember, one first year, 30th in the league in defense. We're probably going to be 30th in the league in defense again this year. What's going to happen to where we're going from 30th to 20th? And you can't say Clint Capela is going to do it by himself. Sorry, that's not going to be legit. If we're not blocking out as a team, we're not playing pick and roll defense as a team well, and we're not knowing how to come off of screens, and heck, if we're not getting back on defense on fast breaks, and people are just like lost out there. Again, it's not like the whole team is first year player at this point. You got 2 and 3 year players. You got 10 year players on the team who don't look like they know where they're going. That's not cool to me. I don't know if it's cool to y'all or not. I don't know. This is an extended show. If you notice, I didn't end the show like I usually would to even go into overtime. This is an overtime show now because, again, I went over a little bit. But I just wanted to do a quick Saturday Night Live show just to talk about this particular subject. Next Wednesday, Around the ATL will be coming back. Hopefully everybody will get a chance to call in like Naj just did from ATL. Be safe, John, Chauncey, and Matthew. Matthew's out there in Australia checking out the show. Appreciate that. And that's why I always urge call in, because you never know where people are listening from. We got fans in London because the Ocon twins. We got fans all over the place, y'all. So yeah, Toronto, Canada. Trying to think of some other places off the top of my head. So always call into the show because there's Hawks fans, France. There's Hawks fans all over the place, y'all. Y'all need to call in and participate. Let them know how dedicated y'all are to these Hawks, because otherwise, you know, what are you really doing? And right now you don't got nothing to do anyway. So that being said, let me get out of here. I got some more work to do, but y'all take care, be safe, definitely keep your family buttoned up, so to speak. Don't be going anywhere you don't need to. There's some knuckleheads there in Atlanta still going to clubs and castings for music videos. I had to unfollow someone just being reckless. Just recently, they posted like, you can't have been exposed to coronavirus. And I just like, what? You ain't been tested. So how do you know you got it or not? Come on. And so they're just exposing people to coronavirus going for a music video. And I just think that's madness. So let me just check, make sure I didn't miss anybody here, but y'all take care. Like I said, oh, one more thing. Don't forget, subscribe to the YouTube channel for IMTN Worldwide Radio. Please do that. If you're watching this or whenever you watch this later, go to YouTube, put in IMTN Worldwide Radio. That's where I'll be streaming from now on when I do the show. Also, if you still haven't done it, there's a Facebook and an Instagram page for IMTN Worldwide Radio. There's a Twitter page if you prefer Twitter. IMTM Radio. So please follow those pages. Once again, thanks to Naj for calling in on a last minute show. And for John, Chauncey, and Matthew taking a look at the show and chiming in, definitely Chauncey with his thoughts. Matthew and John for listening. John was at work, so appreciate that. Just be careful out there, John, wherever you're working at. Late at night, I used to work third shift myself back in the day. So, but appreciate y'all. We're going to talk later. Hopefully, if this passes, you know, we'll be able to finish a season. But at the end of the day, it's all about safety. Right now, it ain't looking good though. Like being straight up, they ain't looking good. So, baseball season. I don't know how you're gonna fit 162 games in at this. You know, they can still do it technically. It's gonna be playing late. As far as Major League Soccer, they could technically do it. You know, if they got down, you know. Maybe they cancel one of those interleague, what they do in the middle of the season. Maybe they won't do those. That might be an option for, you know, Major League Soccer. I don't know what they're going to do with hockey, you know, but the NBA season right now, I doubt they'll, I mean, it's still just April, but still. We'll talk about that more on Wednesday night, as well as a lot of Falcons talk, all the moves that have been made. Are there moves to be finished and how the draft is going to line up? I still question the draft part of this at this point, but it looks like they're going to go for it. So we'll see who we get possibly. I hear some rumors about even moving up all of a sudden. So we'll talk about that as well. So anyway, next Wednesday, 10 o'clock, be there or be square. I'm going to talk to y'all later. Y'all take care. Peace.